Okay, it's the 21st of April, and we're going to be continuing bonds today. And we have some discussions about the class itself. But first, 6%, you know, not bad, folks. One of the best classes. I think there was one time when we had a class that really exploded on the upside, but that was during, I think it was 2013, when the market went up 30%. So that was unusual. But here, the market, since we started, has only gone up about, 1%, 2%? It's still pretty flat. And you guys have trounced, thanks to First Solar and Apple. You guys have and Starbucks, too. Everybody get one of these? Got enough? Just one extra? All right. There you go. So let's tell a joke. Anybody got a good joke? How about a dumb joke? These are dumb. I love dumb jokes. If you're attacked by a pack of clowns, killer clowns, what should you do? Go for the juggler. Isn't that dumb? I love dumb jokes. Okay, here you go. All right, so we did the cats last week, and the choices were choose some material, throw it away, choose some material, not cover in class, and make it mandatory to use the website, get rid of exam 4, and place all exam material into the final. I thought that was going to be the biggest choice, right? It's funny how, you know, you think one thing and then the students do other things. Only two people picked that. Most of you picked either throw some stuff away or make it mandatory. And a couple of you said, don't get rid of real estate, don't get rid of real estate. So, not that we spend that much time on real estate anyway, one day, not even. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw some material away, and we're going to put some material on the website for you. And for the few questions that there will be, for example, for preferred and convertible stocks and preferred stocks and hybrid securities, I'll show you the questions. Okay, I'll show you the answers. So that'll be it. So what we did is we created this one little schedule. So watch this schedule. Today we're going to finish up Chapter 9, but I'll flip through the slides I want you to do on your own, and there's a presentation on the website, of course, that you can use. And then we'll start Chapter 10 with the calculations, because they're more exciting about bonds anyway. We'll finish up the calculations on Thursday, and we'll just take a brief... Everybody seen the spreadsheet? Can you see the spreadsheet? We'll see a brief... Pass it that way. We'll see a brief little, you know, 5-10 minutes on hybrid securities, and I'll show you the questions with the answers, okay? And then next Tuesday, we'll do asset allocation, where we tie everything together and have the exam for Chapters 9, 10, Asset Allocation 11 on Thursday. And then we're done with the class. Well, not really. We're done with the most important stuff, and then we have to start doing the stuff that I hope you never get involved with, and that is options and futures next week. No, 2 weeks from now. George will be our subject matter expert. Margining and shorting stocks. Then we'll spend a day on precious metals, gold, collectibles, the regular versus retirement accounts. I should have put that online. Just put online next to that, because we will not cover that in class. Because we're missing the last day of class. They say, oh, we don't need class. Use that for staff development. So not only do we miss a day at the beginning of the semester, we're missing a day at the end of the semester. Plus, I was out for one day. And then notice that the final is not for another week, over a week. May 28th. So here's your little schedule of what's going to happen over the next few weeks. Because where we were, as I remember, is we had gotten to slide 24, where we took principles of bond price behavior. Does this look familiar?
So on May 26th is the final.
May 26th is the week of finals. See, May 25th is Memorial Day. So they start finals on Friday. Right, the last day of class is actually Wednesday. They threw away Thursday. I don't know why they do that, but they did. So they threw, I guess it gives you an extra day to study. I don't know. And then the first day of finals is Friday. Monday's Memorial Day, and then the week, and that Friday is the next Friday is graduation. So I hope to see some of you at graduation. I'll be there. Questions about the schedule? All right. So this is where we ended up. And over the next several slides, we go through each type of bond. What I want you to do is do this on your own. I want you to do this on your own. If you want to stick around afterwards, we can discuss them. But we go from the least riskiest treasuries through mortgage-backed securities. These were the bad boys that got us into trouble in 2008 and 2009, tied to the loans, the mortgage loans that were based on lies. And we discuss more about asset-backed securitization, which is what mortgage-backed means. Muni bonds, discuss muni bonds and the different types of muni bonds, revenues, bonds, general obligation, special tax bonds. As we then discuss the mutual bond tax advantages, these are the calculations we're going to do today. Then we go through corporate bonds, zero coupon bonds. I want you to make sure you understand this slide. If not, contact me. And then junk bonds, the riskiest bonds. They tend to act like stocks. They tend to do well when stocks do well as opposed to do well when bonds do well. And then foreign pay bonds, bonds outside the United States. Okay, so you're going to do that on your own, right? Nod your heads yes. Make me feel good. Okay, good. Because now we need to learn about bond ratings. Bond ratings. When you go for a loan to the bank or to an appliance store or something like car, they're going to ask for your Social Security number and a bunch of other information. And what they do is they go do a credit check. Now, your credit check is called the FICO score. And it's based on a score from 350 to 850. Nobody. You won't meet too many people over 100. I mean, you don't, especially not here in the South Bay. But once you get over 700, you're okay. You're doing all right. Even 680 is not too bad. But that's not how they do bonds. They do bonds with letter grades. The highest grade is triple A, and then double, it's on the next slide, double AA, triple B, double BB, triple C, double CC, and then D, there's no F. Once they get down to D, they're in default. So that's it. The higher the rating, the better the quality of the bond. There are two large rating agencies, oh, there's a few others, Standard & Poor's, Moody's. I like to think of them as the idiot lights on your dashboard. I think they're better now. I'm not a motorhead, but my understanding is the idiot lights on your dashboard when the oil light comes on. See, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when the oil light comes on, what do? Just keep driving. You only got a couple miles anyway. The engine's about ready to seize. But now, yes, you're absolutely right, Isaiah. Stop. Immediately pull over. Go get some oil and put it in, or make sure that if the oil's filled, then you got a real problem. That means the oil pump has failed. But in the wake of the 2001-2002 corporate scandals, the rating agencies were caught completely off guard. They had they had Enron bonds at triple B, which means investment grade. And Enron was a scam. It was a total scam. They just put numbers up financial statements that were totally false. And so they didn't downgrade them until WorldCom and a few other companies, until they were practically in default. Then, after the 2008-2009 crisis, they had these mortgage-backed bonds that were tied to real estate loans, mortgage loans, triple A. They had them at the best rating. And these were people who had there's no way they were going to make their payments. They started at $1,600 a month for the first year, then went to $2,000 a month, then $2,500 a month, and eventually $3,000 a month. And they were able to make the $1,600 a month payments, but real estate had been going up 10, 20, 30% a year, so they didn't care. Their $500,000 house was going to be worth $800,000 or $900,000. They were going to sell it and do it all again. How did that work out? Pretty bad. That $500,000 house became worth $225,000 or worse. So they got caught completely flat-footed again. But this time, they almost brought down the entire economy. So here are the grades. Anything above BBB is considered investment grade. These are secure investments in bonds. You don't have to worry about that. Anything below BBB is called non-investment grade. But what's the real name for it? Junk, exactly junk. Or distressed, speculative, yes.
So do different countries in the world get...
Countries get rated too by the rating agencies, yeah. By the way, the United States used to be triple A forever, and now it is AA+.
But isn't, like, these rating agencies are in the U.S., though, right? But they...
Well, I think, I mean, I'm not sure. I don't really follow S&P or Moody's, but I'm sure they have offices around the world.
Oh, I see.
I don't know. I haven't studied S&P. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but the Dow Jones Industrial Average is now being run by Standard & Poor's. It's not being run by Dow Jones, Wall Street Journal anymore. At least that's what it looks like. If anybody can figure this out, please tell me, because it looks like Standard & Poor's is now running the Dow Jones Industrial Index.
So how come when, like, every time they show the stock, they show the Dow, they show the Nasdaq, and they show S&P?
You tell me. The Dow is one of the worst indices out there, but it's also the most popular. It's only 30 stocks, and they tend to do really stupid things, like take out Union Carbide, and who else they took out, I forget, in 1999, and put in Intel and Microsoft just in time for the tech bubble to burst. And then they put in AIG just in time for the bond, you know, the real estate bubble to burst, and they had made all those bets before. What they did is they insured all these bonds. How did that turn out? Well, you, dear students, were part owners of AIG, American International Group, for several years. And the Treasury played their hand very well, and turned out they sold AIG for a profit. They actually made money off the company. But we don't like that, do we? We want the government to be in business. The government, the businesses, we want business to be in business. Yes? Because what happened is, in the crisis of 2008-09, the company became instantly insolvent. They had made all these... When you're an insurance company, you're essentially taking on the risk of other people, and you are supposed to set aside a sufficient amount of capital so that if everybody's house burns down, you can pay them, right? What they were doing is they were insuring... They really weren't, because it wasn't called insurance. They were insuring these mortgage-backed securities that were based on the loans that were real estate loans that were liar loans, no doc. And they were doing even worse than that. They were insuring them for people who didn't even own them, which should be illegal. And it's normally illegal. But anytime anybody used the term insurance, they say, oh, no, these are financial innovations. These aren't insurance. So they got away with it. The regulators turned a blind eye, and it was part of the ownership. I don't know if you remember George Bush talking about the ownership society. Everybody's going to own a home. How did that work out? Not so well. And so when they became insolvent, the United States government, I think it was the Treasury, not the Fed, the Treasury came in and basically took, it's called receivership. We'll take care of it. Don't worry, folks. We'll take care of it. And they paid off a lot of those instant debts to companies like Goldman Sachs, Government Sachs, and other major entities. And then, what? Because you didn't get a letter. No, you wouldn't. But you were part owner because you were a taxpayer of the United States government, and the Treasury ran the AIG for several years, and the gentleman who did it actually just passed away last year. We owe a great debt to him. He did a very good job, and when it happened, people were saying, well, you know, AIG is worth a whole lot more than this. We can, if they play their cards right, they can sell off the assets, assets they can sell, and then reorganize the company, and now it's out of bankruptcy, now it's back on its own, and the Treasury actually made money. Call your erected congressperson and ask him for your I'm sure he'll be happy to hear from you. Yeah, it didn't work that way. So then what they do is they add a plus or a minus. And I think this is kind of silly. I don't know about you. But it reminds me of grade AA eggs or grade B eggs. What's the difference? Can you tell the difference between a grade B and a grade A egg? I can't. They scramble up nicely. I guess if you get down to C or D, then you really can tell the difference. But this is how it works. Okay, now, the rating agencies then fine-tune. They add a plus or a minus. So it's triple A, double A plus, double A, double A minus, A plus, A plus. Southwestern College is double A minus. I don't know why, but that's what we are. And then Moody's adds a 1 or a 2 or a 3 instead of pluses and minuses. I think it's kind of silly, don't you?
So but that's what, like, the college...
Southwestern Community College is double A minus.
So that's what they go by when they want a bond to fix something or build something, they go by that credit.
Right, people who are buying the bonds. People who are buying the bonds look at the credit rating and go, oh, okay, I'm pretty sure that Southwestern is going to pay its debts. Make sense?
Yeah, but how do you build that credit? Like, how do you?
Hell if I know. Yeah. Ask the credit agencies. They go in. They do the research. I don't know because I've never done it. I don't know. I'm not involved. But I assume they come to Southwestern Community College and they look at the real estate in the area. And they see how vibrant the economy is, and they say, look, are these people going to pay their tax bill? Because that's where the bonds are being paid from. Every year, we pay our taxes to the County of San Diego, property taxes, and some of that comes to Southwestern Community College, and Southwestern Community College turns around and pays the interest payments and the principal from that money. And if all of a sudden, Otay Lakes started to become or East Lake, started to become a ghost town with houses that were empty and abandoned, are those property taxes being paid?
No.
And that's why we're going to see what happened. We're going to take a look at a couple quotes. We're going to see what happened to Poway's bonds. They sunk because people were so afraid. Questions? Thoughts? Okay.
Isn't
now,
the reason they're not AAA because of the area?
Well, AAA is pretty hard to get, folks. I mean, AAA, there's not too many people have AAA anymore. They gave it out much easier before. But not even the federal government has AAA. And this is a story unto itself. Exactly. When the credit quality goes down, what would you expect would happen? Interest rate to go up. The bonds to become less desirable. The price to go down. And we're going to talk about the bonds. We'd already talked about bond rates, right? The inverse relationship. So in 2011, in August, the demagogues and the Republican rats weren't playing nice, and they were screaming and hollering at one another, and the Tea Party Republicans were threatening to shut down the government. They wouldn't extend the default, the debt ratio, the debt limit. Thank you. They wouldn't extend the debt ceiling. They wouldn't pass a budget. They wanted to do everything they could to destroy the government, and they were doing a pretty good job. And so Standard & Poor's lowered the AAA rating of the United States government, which is the highest you can get, to AA+. The stock market dropped 11% in a matter of a few days. It was August 2011. Look it up. What happened to the bonds, the Treasury bonds? The prices went up. The yield went down. It's called flight to quality. So when something bad happens, people rush to Treasury bonds. But wait a minute, what was bad? They lowered the quality of Treasury bonds. And yet, instead of running away from Treasury bonds, people ran to Treasury bonds. And that prompted Warren Buffett to say, no, 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 they're all confused. The United States government should be quadruple A. It was a joke. But in other words, is the United States government going to pay its debts, folks? Yes. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Go online, look at that Stansberry guy, and click on him so Yahoo makes more money. But it's a total bizarre scenario to think the United States government is going to go default. Now, do we have problems?
Yeah.
Yes, we have problems, and most of them are of our own making. So, okay, any questions? Any more questions about bond ratings? Bond trading is very thin. It's difficult for real estate investors. Sometimes it's thin, meaning there's not that many bonds. Because most people and entities, they buy their bonds for the income. And they don't trade them. They hold on to the bonds until they mature. And they normally trade in tens of thousands of dollars. Unless you're very big, don't expect to be treated well. Don't show up as,
I got $1,000. Can I buy a bond?
Forget it. Go out of here. Get out of here. Do you remember John Merriweather from the first chapter? The liar's poker? No, John. We're going to go play for that money. I want to go $10 million. Investors, you do use banks. And there's a very popular newspaper called The Bond Buyer. But the one exception is TreasuryDirect.gov. And that was our assignment, right? Go to TreasuryDirect.gov and you get the same price. They treat you, a citizen, the exact same way that they treat the big boys and girls on Washington. And you can buy one bond for the same price that Washington, Wall Street. What a day. Okay, I need coffee, maybe. I might even drink coffee. Bonds are normally quoted as a percentage of par. So what we're going to see, we're going to take a look at some bond quotes, is you'll see 97.25. Well, what you do is just move the decimal place over one place. Because most all bonds are $1,000. There are a few that are $5,000 and $10,000 denominations. But most are all $1,000. So 97.25% of $1,000 is $972.50. So just move the decimal point over one. And in Chapter 9, I ask you to find some quotes. I used to use Yahoo, but now it's very bad. I don't. Maybe sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So the bond quotes from FINRA seem to be far more reliable. And on the website, I have the two different links to direct. You don't have to go to FINRA and then drill down. Just go to the website and you'll see the links. And we'll take a look at that in just a moment. And that's we're done. So let's take a look at it right now. So the first thing we're going to do is take a look at a quote that was in. Did I show it to this? I think I did. I showed you a quote right from the start. Let's take a look at. Oh no, I didn't show you this one. I showed you this one right here. The medical establishment. This one is. Come on, 13 seconds left. Oh my goodness. This is the one we saw last Thursday. Okay, and we showed you the call feature. Let's first start off. What is the yield to maturity? 2.10. Yeah. Well, the coupon rate, the nominal rate, is 4%. But because they're selling at $1,144.71, you're paying a premium, the yield goes down. Right? And bond prices go up, interest rates go down, interest rates go down, bond prices go up. Same idea here. Notice that these are A-plus rated, so they're pretty good, you know, investment quality. AA3, that doesn't quite translate into AA-, but it's like the AA- for Standard & Poor's. Again, coupon rate, these are selling at par. These are priced at 1,000. Make sense? Or am I going too fast? Notice that these will be callable starting in 2022. These will be callable at 2025. They are going to, if they want to call these bonds back, they have to pay you $1,020. They have to pay a call premium. These don't. If they want to call them back, they can just pay you $1,000. But notice the minimums, $25,000. Do most of us little folk buy bonds?
No.
No, except from the Treasury. No, we buy them through mutual funds.
But if you have them,
well, I don't know about you, but I can't get too excited about 3%. Now, the cool thing about this is that if you're in the high tax brackets, these are federal and state tax-free. IRS doesn't like that. They like tax-exempt. But let's use tax-free to piss off the IRS. And so that's actually a pretty good yield if we're in the high tax brackets. And we're going to do that calculation today. We should get to those calculations today. How you calculate the taxable equivalent yield for muni bonds. Okay? All right, so now let's take a look at some bonds that were in distress. Here, I had the presence of mind to start saving these things and saying, you know what? Let's see what happens. Let's see if the world ends. So where's Poway? You ever been to Poway?
Not in a while.
I call it no way. Because there ain't no way I'm living in Poway. They don't look kindly at the South Bay either, if you notice that. I don't know. Marco, he's still here? Marco, want to pass that to Marco? Isaiah? Barbara here? Barbara Espinosa? Adam? Okay. Kyle? No. Okay. Give that to Adam. All right. So this was the 19th of February, 2009. This was right after the Antichrist had been elevated. Did you hear Michelle Bachmann yesterday?
No.
She said that Obama is ushering in the rapture. But that's what they said when he was. Inaugurated. They said he's the Antichrist. He'd been elevated. But here, these are from the Capistrano California Unified School District, and I think CFD stands for Community Funding District. I'm not sure, or Community Funding Development Special Tax Bonds. And the same thing is true for Poway. These bonds are based on the property taxes of the buildings, the properties in the Poway, California Unified School District. Notice that these are AA rated, S&P, and insured by a company called MBIA that insures municipal bonds. Very desirable, right? What about Poway?
Non-rated.
Does that sound good?
No.
Well, the reason they're non-rated is that Poway just didn't feel like, because this is how it works, folks. Poway School District has to pay S&P 500, S&P Standard & Poor's, the people who do S&P 500, they have to pay them to rate them. They have to pay S&P to rate the bonds. Now, do you think there's a conflict of interest there?
Yeah,
there is. S&P and Moody's will say, we are above that. Ha, 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 ha. No. People jump up and down and scream and holler, why didn't you give us a better rating? Well, we'll see what we can do. And so these were a coupon rating of 5%. So that means they're paying us $50 a year, $25 every 6 months. And they mature in 2029. But the yield to maturity is 5.9%. And why is that? Because they are priced at $893.66. They are selling at a discount. And notice they started to be callable in this September and 2015 at 1,000. These started to be callable back in 2009 at 1,030. But notice what investors have done to the Poway bond. They've dumped it. Yeah, they're down to, at this time, they're down to $648.78. $650. Why? Because investors are so frightened that the real estate bust is going to kill the property tax revenues, and Poway is going to go belly up. Not the city, the Unified School District, separate entities. They're afraid the school district is going to go belly up, that they've dumped the bonds. They have sold them at a severe discount. And so if you had the gumption, the courage, and you were also very wealthy because they want $25,000 minimum, you could be buying these bonds now and getting 8.6% pre-tax. That's pre-tax. We will learn how to calculate the after-tax yield in just a moment, but that's a pretty darn good rate, folks. That's for people in the high tax bracket, you know, 35%, 39.6%, making $400,000 or $500,000 a year. That's a pretty good rate, as we'll see. Do you want to eat well, or do you want to sleep well? I don't know if you heard George. He said, isn't it risky? And the answer is?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was one of those times when we had gone from euphoria just a couple of years before, where everybody's going to get rich. They're giving away free money. Just go buy a house. Next year it'll be worth, you know, $400,000, $300,000 now, $400,000 next year, $500,000 a year after that. What are you worried about? Run down there. And that's when you saw the grocery store clerks getting a real estate license. Remember? I don't know if you remember. Some of you were pretty young. It was 10 years ago. But I remember. And my buddy and I were fighting over how bad it was going to be. We both felt it was going to be bad. We both felt it was a bubble. And there were people saying, you're out of your mind. Like, yeah, we are. But he thought, I said, you know, 25% down. I think the real estate market will take a drubbing, but not that bad. He said, no, 50%. I say, Jim, you know, that's a lot for real estate. Stocks, they do that every 20, 30 years. But real estate, he goes, no, you don't understand. I'm working with my buddies are making $25,000, $30,000 a year. And they went out and bought a $50,000, a $500,000 house. Their payments this year are $1,600, but next year it's going to be $2,000. The year after that, $2,600. It's all going to end badly. And I thought, I don't know. I was wrong. He was right. Okay, so let's see what happened to the Poway bonds just another year later. Okay? If we just go out a year, and now this is FINRA, and FINRA doesn't have the best format, the best display format. But here are those bonds right here, not rated. And you see that they're still paying you $52.50, you know, half of that twice a year, every 6 months. But they've gone from $650 to almost $800. And the yield has come down from 8.6 to 6.9. So the people who bought those bonds, if they sold them now, they bought them at $650, they could sell them for $800 now. You understand? Do they have to sell them? No, they can just hang on and keep collecting the interest. And that was a year later. And then, let's get rid of this guy. And then if we go to October of 2010, we see that they have gone up even more. Now they're $872. So you still people in 2009 and 10 believe that the world was going to end, but fewer of them. All right? Now let's go to, where are we now? Let's just run, let's give you where, I can't see. Where am I going? That's a good question. Okay, let's go to March of 2013. Let's just skip ahead. And what we see is now look what's happened to the bonds. They are now, many of them, above 1,000. You see what's happened? The time of maximum pessimism is the best time to buy. Right? But it's also... also the hardest time to buy. Everybody's running that way. What do? You run with them, right? That's true. And so where are we now? We're in March of 2015. And so let's see what they say. And now look at them now. This is not good. So you bought those bonds for $650. You could turn around and sell them for $1,200. 1,200, 1,050, 1,050. Here's one selling at par. So when would you be buying bonds? When the world's going to end. When would you be selling them? Right now. You have to be selling them right now. You want to take a look at Ford? You want to see what happened to Ford? Yeah.
What's par again?
Par is 1,000. Remember, 1,000 questions? Am I losing you? Am I going too far?
What does it stand for?
Par just means even. Or sometimes you'll see face value. You ever watch golf? Yeah, par is when they get it. I don't believe it. But you have four shots to get this little ball 400 yards down the fairway. And they give you four shots to do it. It would take me 40. Okay, but the pros, they give them four. And if they do it in four, that's par. Make sense? It means even. Okay, questions? Thoughts? And what happens if it's less than 1,000? Discount, right. Premium above, discount below. Want to pass this over to Christina? Pass it over. And some of you didn't get this. At the end, I'll pass this. This is what our schedule. Okay, so what we'll do now, folks, we'll take a look at Ford. And this is 2009, folks. Companies, GM, Chrysler, Ford, they almost disappeared, folks. And that would have meant several million jobs out of the American economy. But look where Fitch is the one of the smaller rating agencies. Look at what they're rating. CCC. You know, we're not quite the default yet, but they're selling for 640, 590, 600. And the stock was selling for $1.80 or something like that. I kept saying, buy it. It's like, oh, they might disappear. Buy it anyway. What difference? Throw $500 into it. And I didn't do it. Oh, well. Okay, so now if we go 6 months later, There's still CCC, but other prices, $640, $580? No, they're going back up. And if we go to, where are we? June 2010, what's happened? They're now gone from CCC to B, and some of them are above 1,000. Forget this one. But some of them are still 850, 840. Look at this one right here. They have to pay 9.98% till 2047 because the bond is non-callable. Ford's kicking themselves for issuing those things. But that was just a year later, just a little over a year later, right? And now let's run to March of 2011. Oh, well, that was wrong. What did I do? Did the wrong one. I'm sorry. I'm getting old. October 2010. They're now BB. And all of the bonds are now over 1,000. Yes. Non-callable is definitely better for the buyer, but the interest rate is going to be lower. All other things being equal, and they never are, but it's more desirable for you as a bond buyer, as a bond investor, to have non-callable, because then they can't refinance it. Treasury, so far, has always issued non-callable. Corporates, munis, are usually callable. So where are we now? This is October 2014. No, it's October, what was that? October 2011. Let's jump to March of 2013. And look at what those bonds are selling for in March of 2013. They're now triple B rated, so they're back to investment grade, and they're selling for $1,400, $1,260, $1,400, $1,200, $1,120. So did you have the gumption, the courage to buy Ford bonds after the Antichrist had been elevated for $640, $580? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's it. There's the lesson. Do you want to eat well or sleep well? And now let's go to March of 2015, and we go to FINRA's because...
do you think any sensible investment guy would approve you to do that?
I'm sorry?
Any sensible investment guy would have done whatever else there
are. Well, when you say sensible, they would have told you this is very risky. Ford could go out of business. The bonds could become virtually worthless. You should have. I wish I would have saved the GM bonds. The GM bonds were selling for $80. $80. If they made a year's worth of interest payments, you would have basically made all your money back and everything else would have been gravy. But GM went through bankruptcy. And those bonds, I don't know what they sold for, but they didn't get the full $1,000 back. They took a haircut, as it says. They got 60 cents on the dollar or 70 cents on the dollar. Who knows? You with me? Understand? So now, look at the prices of these bonds now, and the yields are really low. So right now, personally, folks, I don't like bonds. I think bonds are poo-poo, caca. I'd stay away from them. There's some other bonds you want to take a look at on the website for your perusal. Okay, and so that was Chapter 9. And now we're ready to take a look at Chapter 10. We're ready now to start the calculations. Questions, thoughts, ideas, comments, criticisms, suggestions?